You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
GST, Goods and Services Tax, or if you go by Twitter, many other full forms that I don't care to elaborate now. GST, that most unwelcome of all reforms in recent times, is now over 18 months old. It can walk on its own, and it can utter a few syllables. You'd think the most unwelcome of all reforms in recent times would be demonetization, but no. Most people were remarkably patient with Notbandi, except of course the ones that actually suffered and some who even died. It was GST that in fact pissed off nearly everyone. So how is GST, this 18-month-old toddler, doing in January 2019? With the elections just a few months away, this is as good a time as any to take a look back at this reform of all reforms of the Modi era, Goods and Services Tax. My name is Rakesh, and this is Digging Deeper with Money Control.
The Deep Dive Podcast Series.
18 months of GST.
GST, the Goods and Services Tax, was implemented on the 1st of July 2017. The government claimed it was revolutionary and all businesses would benefit from it. The truth, of course, was far more complex. The perception we carried, especially in the initial days of the rollout, was that some things became cheaper because of just one countrywide tax, while certain other things became more expensive thanks to the different rate slabs that ranged from 5% to a huge 28%. But first, we need to understand what GST means to you, me, and every other individual in this country. To paraphrase the explainer from Kotak Mahindra Bank, we earlier paid a tax on tax for every purchase that we made throughout the value chain. This increased the taxes we paid to a pretty high rate, roughly 25 to 30%. Consequently, the end cost of goods and services were pretty high as well. As Mint noted, GST replaced 17 central and state taxes that existed before and has led to the removal of checkposts at state borders, transforming India into a single market. The Goods and Services Tax is, at its core, a single tax on the supply of goods and services, right from the manufacturer to the end consumer. Its purported aim was to remove unpredictability and bring equality in the prices of products across the country. It eventually hopes to reduce the manufacturing cost of businesses and to create a unified and streamlined market where the cost of goods and services will be more even across the country. What that means in understandable terms for you and I is GST was structured such that essential services and food items were placed in the lower tax brackets, while luxury services and products have been placed in the higher tax bracket. So yep, the MacBook or the Michael Kors bag is not getting any cheaper. Given the government's moves to curtail the discounts offered by e-commerce companies, you might as well buy Desi. The absolutely necessary items for daily life, fruits and vegetables, milk, buttermilk, curd, natural honey, flour, besan, bread, salt, jaggery, cereal grains, fresh meat, fish, chicken, eggs, etc. are exempt from GST. As are, I kid you not, bindi, sindoor, kajal, bangles, drawing and colouring books, stamps, judicial papers, printed books, newspapers, jute and handloom, hotels and lodges with tariff below 1,000 rupees. Because, well, let's face it, GST on bindi and sindoor would be ridiculous. This is the BJP government. You can just picture a Bollywood film scene where the newly widowed sister of the hero wipes off her sindoor in utter grief, and you're probably thinking, well, at least she doesn't have to pay GST anymore. Anyway, GST was meant to be the solution to VAT, or value-added tax, which was applied at different rates in different states. Yes, I know, taxes are named very creatively. As Bloomberg went on to note, when a country the size of India, with its multi-party federal structure, with both the center and states having their own fiscal autonomy, looks to introduce GST, it was a given that the design would be India-specific, with basic principles borrowed from other value-added tax or GST laws. What that meant was that GST was the biggest tax reform to be implemented in independent India. Vivek Tiwari, MD and CEO at Satya Microcapital, wrote in Your Story that GST has streamlined the country's indirect taxation system, underlining its promise of a unified domestic system of indirect taxes. Its impact on the economy and various sectors have been largely positive, barring some initial teething problems that are only expected with a reform undertaken on such a large scale. Nevertheless, the impact of the reform on the services sector, especially the financial services sector, has also been significant. Unquote. Now let's get into that word which irritates the hell out of me, journey. GST's journey. Tiwari lists out what he sees as the main advantages of GST are eliminating the cascading effect of tax, raising the threshold for registrations to 20 lakh rupees. The exemption limit is the threshold of annual turnover above which companies have to mandatorily register under the GST regime. Some other advantages: small businesses benefiting from composition scheme, compliance made simpler due to online procedures, etc. Now, GST increased the number of taxpayers to 3.4 million, according to the Economic Survey of 2017-2018. The increase in this tax base will help the exchequer with higher receipts when economic growth quickens. While that presents the positive side of the GST picture, there has been definite blowback faced by the government. Even now, a large part of the economy, fuels, electricity, land and real estate, excluding construction contracts, is still outside GST. One of the criticisms from the Congress party is that GST has multiple tax slabs. The highest slab is 28% against a cap of 18% that the UPA had proposed. The NDA government countered this, saying GST has brought down the tax rate on 97.5% of commodities to 18% or less, as against an effective rate of 31% on most of the items in the pre-GST era. The opposition also alleges that the GST regime was rolled out in haste, without adequate preparation, resulting in hardship for traders across the country. That resulted in blowback, as I mentioned earlier. Rahul Gandhi famously calls GST Gabbar Singh tax, which is surprising since the UPA government was mulling over the GST for ages. This week, during his tour of the UAE, he said, and I quote, "We will take some rational economic decisions, we will restructure the GST, and we will embrace investments from the Middle East and other parts of the world." Gandhi claimed foreign investment was at a multi-year low in India due to the ill-advised and badly thought-out economic moves such as demonetization and a poorly designed GST. Let's therefore examine Mr. Gandhi's claim. Because here at Money Control, we try to be as balanced as it is possible for us. Between April and June 2018, foreign investors withdrew 61,000 crore rupees from India's capital markets. Renewed confidence in the economy resulted in back-to-back monthly inflows of 2,300 crore rupees in July and 5,200 crore rupees in August of 2018. That particular rebound came after improved macroeconomic growth indicators and corporate earnings, as well as a positive report from the International Monetary Fund in early August. Business Today, in its year-end review a few weeks ago, noted that in FY16, FDI inflow was $55.56 billion, while the next year saw FDI growth slow to 8.38%, clocking in at $60.22 billion. In FY18, said the paper, total FDI inflow was $60.97 billion, with the growth dropping further to 1.24%. So even as there was growth in absolute numbers, the rate of growth has fallen for 2 years consecutively. The Economic Times reported on the 28th of December 2018 that according to data from Dealogic, a global M&A and capital markets data provider, India's foreign direct investment was the highest ever, with 235 deals amounting to $37.76 billion in the last calendar year. Kalpana Murparia, chief executive for South and Southeast Asia at JP Morgan Chase & Co., told ET, and I quote, "India has had a busy M&A calendar in 2018 and we will continue to see good traction in inbound M&As." Unquote. One analysis on Bloomberg Quint claimed that at the very outset, it was clear that lawmakers and GST Council drafted a law, a rate structure and a base that was far from ideal. The objective was to implement GST first and then tweak it periodically, basis feedback, and improve the structure as we go along. The report went on to add, this is evident from the fact that the GST Council in the last 18 months has met 31 times and taken successful decisions through consensus. The GST Council as a constitutional body has had unparalleled success, which many were skeptical about, and due credit goes to the Finance Minister of the Union of India and all state finance and revenue ministers, besides the untiring efforts of the GST Working Committee. Unquote. The changes or updates to the GST over its 18-month life have largely been in the areas of rate rationalization, that cursed 28% slab, ease of compliance, and improvements through changes in the acts and rules. The improvement in the ease of compliance has been a pleasant surprise. GST attempted monthly reporting at transaction level with invoice matching, which was a big change from the summary reporting, monthly, quarterly, biannual, in previous central and state laws. It was also the area that saw many hurdles. It was a shift so substantial that companies had to spend significant time and money in upgrading their ERP systems in order to be able to comply with GST. It now appears that the government might have miscalculated how much of a shift this would prove to be. The first 3 months of GST were, to put it delicately, very painful. Stakeholders, especially taxpayers, faced near chaos in those initial months of implementation. Chaos that resulted in course corrections and the introduction of GST R3B summary monthly reporting and filing of only the GST R1 form instead of the planned GST R1, GST R2, GST R2A and GST R3, along with invoice matching every month. So the teething troubles with GST implementation, or more than just teething troubles, they were clawing troubles. How does the GST benefit me is a question that you would obviously ask. We benefit via GST rate cuts. Transparency in GST's computation has made the high incidence of indirect tax on many daily use items apparent, which has prompted the GST Council to cut tax rates. The Council estimates that the rate cuts announced so far amount to a benefit of 80,000 crore rupees a year. Now, that said, the issue of businesses not passing on GST rate cut benefits to consumers continues to be a problem. For example, many consumers have filed complaints which are being examined now by the National Anti-Profiteering Authority. Which brings us to the all-important questions of GST collections or the lack thereof. GST has been at the receiving end of no small amount of derision, especially when it came to collections. How is that working out for the centre now? Mint reported last week that the monthly run rate of collections until November was less than 90,000 crore rupees, much lower than the monthly average of 1.05 trillion rupees required to meet the annual target. Business Standard reported that the centre had collected 94,726 crore rupees as GST in December. As far as annual targets of GST go, the expected income was 6.04 lakh crore rupees from the central GST in 2018-2019. Business Standard claims CGST revenue stands at 3.41 lakh crore rupees in 9 months, that is April to December, or 56% of the annual target. That puts pressure on the government. It needs to make 87,000 crore rupees in January, February and March to make up the shortfall. This is for CGST. And that includes tax collected as CGST, as well as settlement towards CGST from the IGST, that is the integrated GST amount. The worry for the government is that the highest inflow as CGST was recorded in July 2018, that is at 58,796 crores. It also has another headache, evasion. Shiv Pratap Shukla, Minister of State for Finance, shared data in Parliament on the 4th of January that showed the percentage of eligible taxpayers who avoided filing returns rose sharply. A year ago, 84.4 million hadn't filed returns. Now this has risen to 283.1 million. Coming to monthly numbers, here are the figures for GST collections. In April 2018, collections were at 1,03,459 crore rupees. That dropped to just over 94,000 crore rupees in May. It went up to 95,610 in June and 96.483 crores in July. And then it dropped below 95,000 crore rupees the next 2 months, but bounced back to register collections of over a lakh crore rupees in October 2018. It dropped to 97,637 crores in November and 94,7726 crores in December. So basically, there's a lot of fluctuations. Why is that? E-way bills didn't quite prove to be the panacea that they were expected to become. When e-way bills were implemented in April 2018, about which we did a story back then as well, it was expected that lower effective taxes, along with increased compliance, would accelerate formalization and organized businesses would gain share and tax collections would surge. But it now looks as if the mechanism has failed to yield the desired results. For example, when analysts from JM Financial Institutional Equities visited Haryana's Yamunanagar, where 550 to 600 plywood manufacturing units are located, they reported that while invoicing levels increased, e-way bill implementation was still not strict in most places, and companies were able to get away with under-invoicing. MS Money, partner at Deloitte India, said, and I quote, "Collections, while admittedly below the targets, seem to indicate that the revenue is stabilizing at around 95,000 crore rupees a month, despite the rate reductions in the current fiscal year. A lower revenue than the target could lead to more compliance pressures on businesses and more focus on anti-evasion measures." One expert went on to tell Mint, and I quote, "Our understanding is that people are still gaming the system, and this has to do with input credit. These companies are claiming input credit by showing estimates of their sales in the GSTR1 form, as you just have to give details of your sales in this form and do not show the actual invoices based on which the input credit is being availed. Later, they avoid paying GST, as payment of taxes happens when you file the GSTR 3B form. So in many cases, registrations are made and initial GST payments are missed. By the time the tax authorities figure it out, many of them have deregistered or shut shop." Unquote. However, it seems unlikely that the government is going to be too strict in an election year. With Lok Sabha elections due in May, the GST Council has eased the compliance burden for small businesses. The council, meeting for its 32nd time, chaired by Finance Minister Arun Jaitley, relaxed the tax exemption limit from 20 lakh rupees to 40 lakh rupees during the meeting on the 10th of January. A point to be noted here is that Prime Minister Narendra Modi, in that very famous interview if you can call it that, to ANI's Smita Prakash, had said that the centre wanted the threshold to be raised to 75 lakh rupees. The council also extended the composition scheme to traders from informal sector rendering services or mixed supplies with a turnover of up to 50 lakh rupees. There has been some speculation that the GST council also plans to converge the 12 and 18% slabs to a midpoint of 15%. Jaitley himself had written about this on a Facebook post 3 weeks ago titled 18 Months of GST. MS Money, partner at Deloitte India, approves of this idea. He said, and I quote, Chief Economic Advisor Arvind Subramanian had in the past suggested a revenue-neutral rate between 15 and 16%. Hence, the intention to move to that rate would be very welcome, unquote. Such a move would make GST a two-slap tax, barring the exempt items and luxury and sin goods taxed at 28%. The finance minister also wrote, the country should eventually have a GST which will have only slabs of 0, 5% and standard rate with luxury and sin goods as an exception, unquote. As of now, the highest slab of 28% has only 27 categories of products, down from the 228 as of the 1st of July 2017. Or, as Jaitley put it somewhat grandiloquently, the sun is setting on the 28% slab.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
18 months of GST.
Perhaps we should have opened with the idea that there has been exemption of the 28% slab on many luxury items, but they are a small amount. But the fact that is dogging the GST idea and implementation is obviously in the pudding. The proof is in the collections, and those have not been consistent or steady. And how this will pan out in the calendar year of 2019, especially in an election year, and how much that will form part of what the opposition will say during the run-up to the elections is what we will see over the course of the next few months. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.